Gopi Janavallabha Girivaradhari Jashoda Nandana Braja Janaranjana Jashoda Nandana Braja Janaranjana Jamuna Tira Vanachari Jamuna Tira Vanachari Jai Radha Madhava Kunja Bihari Jai Om Vishnupad Paramahamsa Parivrajagacharya Ashto Tarasatta Sri Srimad Abhay Charanaravinda Bhakti Vedanta Goswami Srila Prabhupada Ki Jai Om Vishnupad Paramahamsa Sri Srimad Bhakti Siddhanta Saraswati Prabhupada Thakur Ki Jai Srimad Bhagavatam Ki Jai All glorious to the assembled devotees All glorious to Sri Guru and Gauranga Okay. Savai Devarshi. Yeah. Good morning. Hare Krishna. This morning we're reading from the third canto, chapter 23, which is titled Devahuti's Lamentation. We're in texts 4 and 5. Om namo bhagavate vasudevaya. Om namo bhagavate vasudevaya. Om namo bhagavate vasudevaya. Savaye Devarshi Varyastam Savaye Devarshi Varyastam Manavim Samanuvratam. I'm going to open up the Sanskrit here because this verse is so nice and there's so much emotion in the Sanskrit. So the translation, first of all, the daughter of Manu, who was fully devoted to her husband, looked upon him as greater even than providence. Thus she expected great blessings from him. Having served him for a long time, she grew weak and emaciated due to her religious observances. Seeing her condition, Kardama, the foremost of celestial sages, was overcome with compassion and spoke to her in a voice choked with great love. So the first line, Savai Devarshi Varyastham, Sa, he, Kardama. So now in the word by word, I'm going to put Karnapur to work here. Sa, he, Kardama, Vai, certainly, Devarishi, of the celestial sages, Varya, the foremost, Tam, her, Manavim, the daughter of Manu, Samanuvratam, fully devoted. So the daughter of Manu, who was fully devoted to her husband. Those are the first two lines of Sanskrit are saying, the daughter of Manu, Manavim, the daughter of Manu, was fully devoted to her husband, Samanuvratam, and the first line, sa, he, Kardama, vai, certainly, Devarishi, of the celestial sages, Varya, the foremost. So certainly, he is worthy of respect. He is the best of the Devarishis. All right, so now that we know what those two lines mean, we'll recite those two lines. Savai Devarshi Varyastam. Savai Devarshi Varyastam. So Kardama is the best of the Devarishis, and Manavim Samanuvratam. And Devahuti is the daughter of Manu, Manavim Samanuvratam, fully devoted. Manavim Samanuvratam. Daivad Gari Asa Patyur. Asha Sanam Mahishasha. So, in the word, the synonyms, Daivat, then Providence, Gariyasha, who was greater. She saw her husband greater than Daivat, greater than Providence, greater than Daivat has a lot of different translations, like the Devas, the gods. Yeah, here it's Providence. Greater than Providence, greater than the gods, greater than any kind of blessings. Gariyasha, who was greater. Patyu, from her husband, Ashasanam, expecting Mahashisha, great blessings. So understanding his high qualifications, his position, she was expecting reasonably, This is someone who can really help me. So the second line, Daivad Gariyasha Patyur. So Pati, her husband, she saw as greater than Daiva. Daivad Gariyasha Patyur. Asha Sanam Mahishasha. So she was expecting great great blessings from him. Daivad Gari Asha Patyur. Asha Sanam Mahishasha. Okay, now getting into the second shloka, text 5. Kalena Bhuyasa Kshamam. Karshitam Vratacharyaya. Prema Gadgadaya Vacha. Pirita Kripaya Bravit. So in the synonyms, Kalena Bhuyasha, for a long time. Kshamam, weak. Karshitam, emaciated. Vratacharyaya, by religious observances. So her husband saw that Kalena Bhuyasha, by spending a long time kshamam, she had become weak, by spending a long time karshitam, vratacharyaya. Karshitam, she had become emaciated, vratacharyaya, by religious observances. And then the last two lines explain how he responded. Prema, with love. Gadgadaya, stammering. Vacha, with a voice. Piditam, overcome. Kripaya, with compassion. Abravit, he said. So the husband, noticing that she had become weak and emaciated by practicing vratacharyaya, religious observances, Kalena Bhuyasa, for a long time, his voice became choked up with prema, gadgadaya, stammering. So it was hard for him to speak. He recognized, you did all of this. And then there's the next verse. We'll leave that as some suspense. What did he say? So I'll go through the Sanskrit one more time, and then we'll do the translation again. Savai deva shivaryastam manavim samanuvratam daivad gari asapatyur ashasanam mahishasha kalena bhuyasa kshamam karshitam vratacharyaya prima gadgadaya vacha pidita kripaya bravit. The daughter of Manu, who was fully devoted to her husband, looked upon him as greater even than providence. Thus she expected great blessings from him. Having served him for a long time, she grew weak and emaciated due to her religious observances. Seeing her condition, Kardama, the foremost of celestial sages, was overcome with compassion and spoke to her in a voice choked with great love. Okay, so purport. The wife is expected to be of the same category as the husband. She must be prepared to follow the principles of the husband, and then there will be happy life. If the husband is a devotee and the wife is materialistic, there cannot be any peace in the home. The wife must see the tendencies of the husband and must be prepared to follow him. From Mahabharata, we learn that when Gandhari understood that her would-be husband Dhritarashtra was blind, she immediately began to practice blindness herself. Thus she covered her eyes and played the part of a blind woman. She decided that since her husband was blind, she must also act like a blind woman. Otherwise, she would be proud of her eyes and her husband would be seen as inferior. The word samanuvrata indicates that it is the duty of a wife to adopt the special circumstances in which the husband is situated. Of course, if the husband is as great as Kardama Muni, then it is a very good result accrues from following him. But even if the husband is not a great devotee like Kardama Muni, it is the wife's duty to adapt herself according to his mentality. That makes married life very happy. It is also mentioned herein that by following the strict vows of a chaste woman, Princess Devahuti became very skinny, and therefore her husband became compassionate. He knew that she was the daughter of a great king and yet was serving him just like an ordinary woman. She was reduced in health by such activities, and he became compassionate and addressed her as follows. Right, after all that, we got to read, what did he say? Kardama Muni said in the next verse, O respectful daughter of Swayambhuva Manu, today I'm very much pleased with you for your great devotion and most excellent loving service. Since the body is so dear to embodied beings, I'm astonished that you have neglected your own body to use it on my behalf. All right, the translation again. The daughter of Manu, who is fully devoted to her husband, looked upon him as greater even than providence. Thus, she expected great blessings from him. Having served him for a long time, she grew weak and emaciated due to her religious observances. Seeing her condition, Kardama, the foremost of celestial sages, was overcome with compassion and spoke to her in a voice choked with great love. Om agyan timarandasya yananjana shalakaya chakshurun militam yena tasmai shri guruve namaha. Hare Krishna. I hope that wasn't too triggering for some of the women who have been through difficult relationships and situations. And this is a difficult subject. Last time I had to give class on a real difficult verse and purport. Here we go again. But it's been a theme. Oh. It's been a theme for the last few verses, I notice. The wife must always be submissive to her husband and must give up all vanity, etc., etc. There's so much put on the woman. And somebody in the community I used to live in, he thought it was a really good idea to take all of these quotes from Prabhupada on how women should be, and he printed them up and stuffed them in everyone's mailboxes, and just to inspire all the women. And he, and by doing this, he created a problem where there had not been a problem. Although everyone was getting along really well. And it was a big lesson in, now if you, I'm just going to look it up because it's so good. Chapter 17, Bhagavad Gita, austerity of speech. Yes. Anudvega karam vakyam satyam priyam hitam chayat svadhyaya vyasanam chaiva vanmayam tapuchate. So austerity of speech consists in speaking words that are truthful, pleasing, beneficial, and not agitating to others, and also in regularly reciting Vedic literature. So five things are given there. Your words should be anudvega karam, not agitating, should be satyam, truthful, priya, dear, pleasing, hitam, beneficial, and svadhyaya, you should quote from the Vedas. In the purport, Prabhupada says this means what you say should be verified. So five things. And the purport begins, one should not speak in such a way as to agitate the minds of others. Of course, when a teacher speaks, he can speak the truth for the instruction of his students. But such a teacher should not speak to those who are not his students, if it will agitate their minds. This is penance as far as talking is concerned. So there was a lot of instructions being thrown around to people who were not this person's student. His own wife thought it was wonderful. She was that kind of person that could go along with her husband. Her daughter thought it was wonderful. His daughter thought it was wonderful. His son, I don't know. Anyway, it just created a lot of problems. And I saw how much trouble this topic can cause when it's imposed on other people. And then later on at a big gathering, I saw someone give a lecture on this very same topic, and there was tremendous applause after. It was the same topic of the gentle nature of the woman. Let's see, it's in the previous verse, text 2. Here, two words are very significant. Devahuti served her husband in two ways, Vishrambhena and Gauravena. Vishrambhena means with intimacy, and Gauravena means with great reverence. So these are the kind of things, like you should be very close and intimate with your husband, but at the same time have respect and like, yeah, who wants some stranger to come and push that on you? The husband is a very intimate friend, therefore the wife must render service just like an intimate friend, and at the same time she must understand that the husband is superior in position, and thus she must offer him all respect. A man's psychology and woman's psychology are different. Let's see. As bodily constituted, the woman is naturally inferior to her husband. So this devotee was writing all of these things up and putting them in the mailboxes, not just once, but like every week. Here's the newest newsletter on how you can be happy in your family life. And the women all got together and said, this person doesn't belong on the temple board. And he said, well, what's wrong? These are Prabhupada's words. Don't you like Prabhupada? And yeah, of course, all these women love Prabhupada, but they don't love you taking these instructions. It did not go over well at all. But then, As I was starting to say, I was in a really large gathering. A few hundred devotees were there, and it was Mother's Day, and this devotee was talking about the difference between men and women. And that was a big surprise for me after being a brahmachari for 10 years when I got married, that after a while it was like, the men kind of want to be with the men and the women need to be with other women because they have different psychology. They need that. And so this devotee was saying how he grew up in Europe, and his father was very strict, and everyone had to go to bed at 8 o'clock every night. And as soon as the father was asleep, snoring really loudly, then the mother would go around and get all the kids and bring them in the kitchen and give them cakes and pies and nice things, and just to be nice, because she knew the kids need some nice things. The father was just so strict all the time. And so he was saying, we need both. We need someone to be strict, and we need someone to be a mother to us. He said, we men, we look far into the future. We're thinking of the future. We're going out and finding things and making money, but we can't find the butter in the refrigerator. And I have to ask my wife. But meanwhile, she's driving the car and she doesn't notice that the check engine light is on, the oil pressure is down. And so she just drives, she doesn't notice things like that. And so he went on saying how his father had been in one of the concentration camps in Germany and had been tortured, and regularly he would wake up at night screaming in terror, and they would hear their mother calming him down, saying, it's all right, you're here, you're safe. And so they would hear that frequently. They knew something about what had happened. But then, after their father died, the person who was going to do the preparing the body for burial turned out to be the same person who had been torturing their father in the concentration camp. So this devotee said, my brothers and I were planning. We're not trying to decide whether or not to kill this person. We're coming up with a plan how to kill him. And when our mother found that out, she said, you will do nothing of the sort. That man has a family. These were difficult times. He was under orders. Everybody was crazy at that time. It's not his fault. We have to forgive him. And so that's the nature of women, is to forgive. And so he gave so many examples about that to that gathering. And at the end, everyone applauded. They agreed, yes, women are different. It was just the presentation. So here I am. I'll see what I can do with this. I hope nobody gets upset with we're going to go over that purport again. The wife is expected to be of the same category as the husband. Some friends of mine, they were with the Grihastha Vision team. They're trying to gather things from Prabhupada's books, quotations to use on how to get along in family life. And it was really hard. There are not many things, but here's one. But then in the purport, it's like the way that Kardama Muni responds. That's why I wanted to bring out the Sanskrit, prema gadgadaya vacha. With love, he recognized what she had done. Kalena bhuyasa kshamam, because for a long time she had engaged in vrata charyaya, religious observances. She had become emaciated and weak. And so when he recognized that, prema, in love, gadgadaya, his voice was choking in love. Kripaya, abravit, pidita, overcome. He became overcome with compassion. So I think two things to recognize each other, that we're on the same team. It's not a competition. So often when two people get together, we feel we're competing with each other. But husband and wife, we are to see ourselves as one unit, one team. And if you demean your partner, criticize them, especially in public, it's like shooting holes in your own foot. Like, why would you want to do that? It's part of you. You're one unit. You're one team. And what should be celebrated by one should be celebrated by both. If someone does well, then that's good. It's not a competition. We're on the same team. Just like when back in our brahmachari days in Berkeley, we would distribute books, and sometimes we would challenge the Los Angeles brahmacharis who can distribute the most books for the week. And every day the Sankirtan leader, Haripad, would remind us, there's a competition, you're doing really good, let's keep up the hard work, let's see if we can do better than them. And then at the end of the week, he would get the phone call and they would exchange the scores, and then Haripad would make the announcements. And while he was making the announcement, at least I was thinking, and I think everyone else felt that way, Nagaraj was there, Mahanidhi. I think all of us felt like, I hope we beat them, but at the same time, we hope they distributed more books than us. We just want lots and lots and lots of books to go out. It's a competition, but it's a competition where everybody wins. We're working hard, trying to do more books than them, and at the same time hoping they just do something phenomenal and get a ridiculous amount of books out. Prabhupada also gave the example of the brothers massaging the father, and then they start fighting over, how does that go? They're fighting over which part of the body to massage, or they're punching the other leg. How did that go? Does anyone know the details on that? But there's some kind of fight going on while the brothers are massaging the father, and the father says, and so they're pulling on the legs. Okay. And so the father says, your fighting is killing me. And what was going on? Why did Prabhupada bring that up? Does anyone remember? Okay, two GBCs in South America. Okay, all right. Two GBCs were arguing. Prabhupada had these stories immediately. okay, so I took a few notes, and let's see. Okay, yeah, and I ran this by a couple of my friends yesterday, friends who happen to be women and very intelligent and independently minded, and they said, yes, we practice this. This has to be done. And I said, let's see. And we read through the purport. Let's just go through it again. The wife is expected to be of the same category as the husband. She must be prepared to follow the principles of the husband, and then there will be happy life. If the husband is a devotee and the wife is materialistic, there cannot be any peace in the home. And I was wondering, like, what if Prabhupada's wife was as much into serving Srila Bhakti Siddhanta Saraswati as Prabhupada was. If she took up the mission as much as him, and then their sons and daughters also took it up, what kind of movement would we have had? Of course, someone asked Prabhupada once, what if Gandhi had become a devotee? And Prabhupada said, why waste your time asking hypothetical questions like this? It's just a waste of time. But still, I just can't help wondering, like, what if? His wife was younger than him. She probably would have lived longer than him. His sons and daughters, if they had taken it up, we would still have them around. They could tell all kinds of stories of what he was like as a father. But it didn't happen. So perhaps he's speaking from experience here when he says, if the husband is a devotee and the wife is materialistic, there cannot be any peace in the home. Or perhaps he is referring directly to the story at hand. Devahoti came from a wealthy family, not at all materialistic. When Manu goes back to his place, there's a description of what it's like where he lives. He lives a fantastic long life. Everything there is centered around devotional service. And there's that purport where Prabhupada says, in old age, sense gratification becomes vain and painful. So in old age, materialistic people become very depressed. But for one who has given their life in service to Krishna, their old age becomes a happy occasion, full of hearing and discussing about Krishna. And at that time, I was reading, we were reading Srimad Bhagavatam every day with a group of people. One of them was this 87-year-old Gujarati man. And when we read that purport, I asked him, Natavir, what do you think about that? And he said, yes, he's right. And Natavir was really enjoying his old age. He, after reading in our group, he said, now I have to go. I'm joining another group. We're reading from the second canto. This guy, he's not your typical Indian person who just wants to go on and tell you all kinds of stories about his life. He was just really locked into reading Srimad Bhagavatam, and he was very proud. He had a copy of Sri Ishopanishad that his father had given him way back in the 30s. Okay, so if the husband is a devotee and the wife is materialistic, there cannot be any peace in the home. The wife must see the tendencies of the husband and must be prepared to follow him. Okay, that's pretty good so far. Now it gets challenging. From Mahabharata, we learn that when Gandhari understood that her would-be husband Dhritarashtra was blind, she immediately began to practice blindness herself. Thus she covered her eyes and played the part of a blind woman. She decided that since her husband was blind, she must also act like a blind woman. Otherwise, she would be proud of her eyes and her husband would be seen as inferior. Okay, that's pretty extreme. To go that far. If your husband has some deficiency, then you should also take that on. How's that ride with everybody, though? Yes. Yeah.
But if she was just married like now as we have, would that be an intelligent decision on her part? Because she has something valuable that she can actually assist her husband. But she could afford to do that. You know, there's plenty of people around to do everything.
Yeah, they're in the royal family. They've got servants.
Royal family, yeah.
That's a good point.
One way to, at least that's one thought that comes to my mind as I hear that.
Yes.
I think it would be a disservice if she was in a family like we have right now, a nuclear family. That would be a disservice to her husband. At least that's how I would see it. As long as she does it in the proper mood. You know, again, the mood is important. So she's not doing it in the mood of like, I can see you and you can't, and you know, I have to make the money for you, and you know, whatever, you know, et cetera. But.
Yes, thank you. Good point.
I was thinking around this that if this is something I'm going to do to perform an austerity, to, you know, for the sake of just pleasing my husband, and maybe even this will gain, she gained a lot of power from it. So that we don't hear if that's her intention, but really our gauging is what serves Krishna best in this situation. You know, how can I really serve Krishna best? Not what's, you know, what will be the thing that, you know, we're not into austerity if it's not for Krishna. So she performed an austerity, and I've never read if that was actually for Krishna's pleasure or not.
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm.
So there's something to just look at, is that, did that make her more Krishna conscious?
So we've got two discussions on the table here, whether that was practical, and for her it was, and for most people it will not be. And then, is this also in the same category? Is this a practical austerity that will help us advance in Krishna consciousness? So we'll address that. What is a reasonable austerity? Tapa, there's a list of all of the good qualities that someone could have. Learning, education, beauty, okay, the whole, everything, compassion, and then austerity, tapa. Tapa is called fire, and I heard this discussion before that, I only heard it once, and I thought it was great, though. Of all of the good things we have, these are like all the ingredients on the shelf in the kitchen. You put them all together, and then you have to cook it with a little fire. You need some tapa to make anything work. So it's a willingness to take on, sometimes just staying in the game, like chanting our japa every day. That is a tapa, just the steady being there every day for it. We still got the rest of the purport to go through. So, all right, let's try to keep it brief.
Well, one thing with Gandhari is she had a heck of a lot of realization, whatever the heck she was doing. She was on the level of Mahajan, I've heard it described. So it wasn't like her temple commander came up and gave her a hard time, and it's like, gee, I don't know what to do. You know, I mean, she really, it was her own initiative. It was her own realization.
Mm.
And another thing is she's the queen, he's the king. This has major ramifications on so many levels. She's not just impressing her friends in the reading group here. And then the last thing is that came to this particular mind here is if the principle is you do it to make your spouse happy, apparently that didn't work because Disaratra, you know, was kind of unsettled through the whole Mahabharata. And in fact, it's responsibility for starting the whole thing. So just doing that alone, you know, who's going to make anybody happy, you know?
Good point from our history professor who's getting the historic broad vision. Yes. Thank you. And Pran Govinda, did you have something?
Somebody sent me a text of Mother Bhagavati. She said, the verse speaks about the qualities of a good wife, but what about the qualities of a good husband? Please ask for me. Then I have my own clarification. Gandhari, she took the vow of chastity and she actually developed the power. She
She had an ability to seal the body of her son, Duryodhan, that even Bhima could not kill. It is Krishna intervened for Bhima to kill Duryodhan. Otherwise, both were 10,000 elephant power. So she is not ordinary, but she was not Krishna conscious. That ruined her everything. At the end of life, she also cursed. So what's the value of being chastity or not chastity if it is not pleasing Krishna? I mean, ultimate destination, Prabhupada writes, both Dhritarashtra and Gandhari did not become a devotee because they thought they are disciple of Vidura and they did not take Vidura as a serious. And their destination is merging into effulgence. So Prabhupada writes in the purport, I remember many years back I read, that was not satisfying Vidura. Guru was not happy. Neither they got higher destiny. So what is the big deal about big power, big following? Ultimately it became really zero.
Yeah.
No one in front of the zeros.
All right, so somebody asks, what are the qualities of a good husband? Uh-oh, we got a whole... All right.
Hare Krishna. Actually, this is not about the qualities of a good husband. I was just going back to Mother Gandhari's qualities, like how she sacrificed her eyesight for her husband. And that was the quality of a wife, which is desired.
Yeah.
But at the same time, one of my relatives brought up the point that maybe if she was not blind, then Duryodhan and her sons would not have swayed.
If she was not married?
If she was not blind, then her children would not have been distracted because of their uncle. So what is the priority, like as a wife or as a mother? Because at the same time, we have the example of Mother Kunti, who did not go sati, but took the responsibility of her children and went through a hardship.
Okay, yeah. All right, that could be there too.
Can I say something on that?
But we're going to try to focus on the purport a little bit, but yeah, we're running out of time already. But was it brief?
No. Ramaphat Maharaj was here a couple years back. He gave class mention about this little bit. I still remember that when Duryodhan came and confessed his ill motive to his father and mother, both were there. He said, Father, I cannot live where Bhima lives. Not in one planet, not in one palace or a country. He went like breakdown. He said, not even in any one planet. Either he lives or I live. Did they correct? No, they did not correct. Maharaj made it very clear, I remember. So, person's devotional quality is different than so-called good mother or good wife. What value of that ultimately? They could have protected, you can say. But she should have talked to him, but she didn't. So who to be accused? And this goes on, I have a whole seven lists. Maharaj did mention, I remember.
So, yeah, these following the husband, being the good wife, look at Hiranya, Ravana. What was his wife's name? Mandodari. Yeah, she was good. She gave good advice, but he didn't listen. So, yeah, there's several examples of that throughout our books. Here's a good example, Devahuti. And I'm going to bring up one more if we find the time. The word samanuvrata indicates that it is the duty of a wife to adopt the special circumstances in which the husband is situated. Of course, if the husband is as great as Kardama Muni, then a very good result accrues from following him. Okay, so that's nice. Now here's the challenging sentence. But even if the husband is not a great devotee, like Kardama Muni. It is the wife's duty to adapt herself according to his mentality. What? That doesn't seem fair. That makes married life very happy. It is also mentioned herein. Okay, well, before we get into that, so those last two sentences, that's real challenging. But I've seen people who have spoken out about that in our groups, in our reading groups. It's funny, this one, when we were reading about Chavana Muni and Sukanya, and here, I'll read the verse, because it's just... Chavana Muni was very irritable, but since Sukanya had gotten him as her husband, she dealt with him carefully, according to his mood. Knowing his mind, she performed service to him without being bewildered. So a young girl married to this grouchy old man. Purport, this is an indication of the relationship between husband and wife. A great personality like Chavana Muni has the temperament of always wanting to be in a superior position. Such a person cannot submit to anyone. Therefore, Chavana Muni had an irritable temperament. His wife, Sukanya, could understand his attitude, and under the circumstances, she treated him accordingly. If any wife wants to be happy with her husband, she must try to understand her husband's temperament and please him. This is victory for a woman. So one of the women on when we were reading this was really triggered by that and said, this just seems so unfair, this young girl married to this old man. But then that same woman I saw on the call, there was someone else in our group who was kind of like Chavana Muni, kind of a grouch. One of those people, like, if you take too long to say something, he'll like, yeah, he's like kind of pushy and agitated. And so she would always be like, oh, I'm so glad you're here. It's so good to have you. You always have the good answers. She's always praising this guy and just being really sweet. And eventually that guy started to soften up and melt and joke around. And so like she employed that same strategy, even though she felt like, so it's, women have a natural emotional intelligence better than we do. We're out of touch with that kind of stuff, but women are more in touch and they get triggered by things, yeah, but then they just kind of tolerate it. That's their tapa. They don't have to tie their eyes up. And then they find a way around it. And then they find a way to make it better. But if you've got some man going around stuffing letters in your mailbox saying, this is the way you need to be, it just creates resistance. It creates problems where there was no problem. All the women were getting along just fine with the men, with their husbands. Things were going well. But when that came up, Gopeshwari knows what I'm talking about. It just stirred things up. And there had been no problem. Then it became a problem. It is also mentioned herein that by following the strict vows of a chaste woman, Princess Devahuti became very skinny, and therefore her husband became compassionate. He knew that she was the daughter of a great king, and yet was serving him just like an ordinary woman. She was reduced in health by such activities, and he became compassionate and addressed her as follows. All right, so we got a few minutes left. Yes. Yes, everybody knows, but we're going to have...
He became not cranky old man. He became the most handsome like Ashwini Kumar Doi. The two brothers came to test her chastity. and they proposed. Anyway, it's a long story. But at the end, she got a perfect man with a gentle behavior. So her dedication was worthy. And they all both became very good devotees.
Hmm.
Otherwise, halfway story may confuse. This is just me.
Yeah. Okay. Yeah, it did have a resolution. But I just wanted to create some tension, suspense for those who are still reading the Bhagavatam and they haven't gotten there yet. Yes? Oh.
What's a husband supposed to do if he has a cranky wife?
Yeah. I don't know. We'll have to ask the women. They could...
Oh. Because it's the same thing.
If you have a cranky wife, move to the forest, according to Chanakya Pandit. He's always a good one to consult for marital problems. Chanakya Pandit, his great marital counselor.
I don't mean to step aside from the topic, but what I'm taking away from this is the value of a family with a father and a mother, of the children experiencing and growing up with the male energy and the female energy together. Hare Krishna.
Oh, yeah, yeah.
How important that is.
Oh, and it looks like we've got another... Okay.
So it says that the wife should follow the husband, and if the husband is materialistic, then the wife should follow. So how does that apply to a devotee? I mean, my first husband was a karmi. He did not want to join the temple, so I left him. My second husband blooped, so I left him to be a devotee. And then my third husband kept saying my whole marriage, I can't be a devotee as long as I'm married. So I'm like, great, I'm out of here.
Oh, boy.
Yeah. So what about that?
Yeah, that is a really tough question. I hope someone here has a good suggestion. Oh, yes. Is it answering her question? Oh, no. No, this is... That's what's on the table now, because it is a valid question. Yeah. Well, there's the example that Prabhupada told. What was it? His sister was married to someone that ate fish, and she had to cook the fish for him. Oh no, it gets pretty bad.
Mm-hmm. Prabhupada attributes that to her tolerance.
Yeah.
Tolerance. He said that's a major quality of a chaste of chastity.
Wow. Whoever's listening on the radio missed a good story. Should I try to repeat that? But yeah, we only have a couple minutes left. Pishima. Husband was not just a non-devotee. He was pretty bad, going off with other women, and she asked her brother, Prabhupada, what should I do? And he said, worship your deities, She had stopped serving her deity. Is that right?
They were not serving the deity before.
They were not serving the deity before. And so he said, get your deity, start serving your deity, cook and serve your husband and serve him prasad. And so after... And Prabhupada said that will change him, and so it did, but he became very ill, and after a year, he was about to die, and he apologized to her for everything. Serve your husband prasad, and he'll die in a year. I don't know.
I had a thought on this.
But anyway... Keep serving Krishna. Go ahead. What did you have?
I can say it kind of lines up with this. Bhakti is about softening our hearts. You know, really, if we're going deep into bhakti, it's about softening the heart. So are we able to if we have a partner like this, are we able to really have compassion on them? Or are we thinking like, I'm just... get rid of them. And of course we try, we can try with compassion to take, to help them, support them. I was thinking, you know, one of the most powerful things is sadhu sangha. You know, bring your partner in sadhu sangha. But it's like they're not going to come to the temple. You have to bring the sangha to your house and have them be in the sangha. Of course, that may not work as well. But I see in this time, this age, we have to be both partners. The man has to be also softening their hearts and becoming emotionally intelligent and becoming emotionally available. Because when that's not happening, the woman is needing to have some emotional exchange, then they don't feel satisfied when the man just can't even understand and have anything to do with that, because they're not, you know, what is bhakti about? It's about actually having feeling and emotions for Krishna. So if we're not actually doing that, practicing doing it with each other, how can we do it with Krishna?
Yes, it's an opportunity to grow. But yeah, if you've got a partner who is entirely unwilling, then yeah, she's got more experience.
Sandhya Keshari reminded me of a story in the Chaitanya Charitamrita when Advaita Acharya, that's who it was, right? Who? Sivananda Sen had Lord Chaitanya over for dinner, for lunch, and the son-in-law was very offensive to Lord Chaitanya, and the wife said, may my daughter become a widow, rather than serve the husband. That's all I remember about that story.
Sarvabhauma Bhattacharya's, yeah. Yeah. Amoga, yeah.
I just wanted to mention that in the early days, I think Srila Prabhupada recognized that, you know, in Kali Yuga, the qualities of men and women are very mixed. It's not that, you know, the women are all chaste and the men are all strong and so forth. There's a lot of women who are very strong and men who are very weak. And so what Srila Prabhupada stressed in the early days that I remember, and you can tell from a lot of the letters that he wrote to his disciples, is that husband and wife need to serve each other. It's not that, I mean, we always see someone else as superior. we always see ourselves as inferior, and our husband or our wife, they're Prabhu. We address each other as Prabhu. So serving each other was what Srila Prabhupada stressed.
Thank you. Yeah, Gaur Kishore Das Babaji's story. You want to tell that one? Okay, wow, we really opened up a can of sweet rice here.
Frank Govinda Prabhu can tell the story. I thought it was, Gaur Kishore Das Babaji who said that both husband and wife should serve each other, but he was very heavy on that point, that the husband does not see the wife as his servant or something. But anyway, mm-hmm. There's a whole story. But, you know, we're hearing from Pran Govinda Prabhu that these situations turn out so good, you know, whether it was Chaivanamuni or whether it was Pishima, but we're talking about Gandhari's situation right here. Her situation didn't turn out good. I mean, she gave up so much for her husband. She tried to explain to him that he shouldn't be doing that, and her situation doesn't, she loses all her sons after that. Yeah, she loses all her sons, and she's not becoming a devotee because her husband is not a devotee. So we also heard about that. So what is her situation? It doesn't seem like everything she sacrificed, she got anything in return. What did she get in return? I mean, what did she get in return? All her sons were killed. She made such a sacrifice for her husband to become blind. And yeah, she got power, but what did she really get? And maybe that's because it's just on a material level, like we've been hearing from different devotees that they're not devotees, you know? So maybe it's that, but I'm still trying to understand what did she gain? Except for,
previous life, that her husband and her killed 100 chicks. Whose fault is that?
Yeah, so what?
So they are responsible. If I kill somebody and somebody killed me, somebody should complain why they killed? Well, I did before. Prarabdha karma means what it came with this life. Prabhupada gave an example like a movie. It's already predestined. It's going to unfold.
Yeah, so so we start thinking about predestined things, and nothing will work in this life.
That's all Buddhist stuff.
No, how you take it is not predestined.
That's Hindu stuff.
No,
what she got is what she got was her deepening relationship with Krishna. That's what she got. Deepening relationship with Krishna. Characters in the same level as Bhishma Deva. I mean, she's I don't know where we're getting the stuff. No, he doesn't say that, though. You're adding that. She just point blank says it. So, you know, she's got something going on here with all this. You know, it's not some superficial, oh my God, I offended somebody, so now I'm going to get it now. I'm a big fan of Gandhari too. But
you are.